This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So I want to start wranging this up, Ray Stanford, with George Adamski. So we have the photo that didn't come out right, and he tells George Hunt Williamson, Rick Williamson, you know, not to use it. He'll get something better. To summarize all this, I want to ask you here, because we can do two shows just on Adamski. It's obvious he faked this stuff. Maybe he had some experiences earlier on, whatever. Why do people today still insist he's the real deal?
Well, you know, that's the same reason they vote for certain politicians. I think it's more of a religion or a conviction that doesn't have a lot of intellectual strength behind it. After all, I mean, he's talking allegedly with Martians and Venusians and Jupiterians and Saturnians. These are people, I would presume, that bend toward irrational beliefs. The same reason that people get into certain religious beliefs that, by our standards, seem irrational. It's a religion, I think, is part of it. It gives them something. They're probably frightened people. They realize their world is in a dangerous situation, could damage yourself, blow ourselves up with nuclear war. And so here are space brothers saying, oh, we're keeping an eye on things. We're trying to help you. No, we're gonna try to do something. It's a message of hope for them, despite the fact that everything Adamski said is proven untrue by modern science. I mean, it's really funny. I mean, to talk about a Venusian, considering that we've actually had, I think, two craft now have landed on the surface of Venus, and I know one of them at least sent back some awfully good images of the surface, and it's so hot and so incredible the craft didn't last very long, but certainly Orton, with his long Nordic hair and blue eyes, it wouldn't have lasted very long either there.
A lot of those early contactee claims mentioned planets in our solar system. If it's not Venus, it's Saturn, or it's Mars or something. And they couldn't really go beyond that. So they were limited. They weren't giving us anything new. What can we learn, though, in 2017 from George Adamski, if anything?
Well, we can learn that also people will come along like Gerald Baker was willing to claim that he took the pictures that Adamski took, supposedly showing the scout ship right over the trees, when he didn't take them. Or later here in the D.C. area, as you know, that Timothy Good is pushing some ridiculous, absolutely, totally fraudulent movie of a little model in front of the camera. And he takes it and he says that, well, there's a NASA scientist looked at it and said it's genuine. Well, I'm sorry, but the man was not speaking for NASA. He was not even speaking as a scientist if he looked at that and thought it was genuine, because anybody that's ever done photography would know that it's just a small object bobbling in front of the camera on a pendulum. But it shows that people can get into an irrational mode when there's something that has an emotional appeal to them. And it should tell us to try to be more objective. Fortunately, I learned that day at Adamski's place. I'm thankful that he told us what he told us. But I don't know how long I would have been caught up in it had he not done so. But in my experiences out there, as you mentioned, I mean, I had contact with quite a number of these people that are in the contactee field. And, of course, had a very extensive contact with Daniel W. Fry and his claims. And we could talk about that. But mainly, I hope that this just gives us caution about the danger of accepting without due critical analysis. And as in science, one needs some peer review to get people that are used to thinking analytically and ask them what they think about it. And I don't believe any truly rational person today could believe literally Adamski's claim. They might want to say, well, these space brothers were fooling him. They weren't really from these planets. You know, that was just a thing, just telling him that. But Adamski told me he never met them physically. He never needed to, he said. And he showed me how he faked the pictures. So the story was, in my opinion, hoax from beginning to end, except for perhaps Adamski's personal belief in his own psychic ability. And I think we all need to get more objective about our feelings about our own psychic ability, because I know as a person who have been somewhat psychic all my life, sometimes their impressions are valid and sometimes they're not. We have to be exercise critical judgment.
Let's move on to Daniel W. Fry. Now, you saw this thread from our forums where a person who happens to be a scientist was suggesting here that there are a lot of things in what Fry said that accurately reflect science and cutting-edge science. What do you think?
Absolutely not. That is not correct. I don't mean to insult anybody, but that is simply not the case. Let's see here. I'm going to let me find, got this right here, a thing. Okay. Fry, for example, it's really funny. I read his first book, The White Sands Incident, right after it came out, and I read all his others. And even when I read the book when it first came out, even though I was at the time a dyed-in-the-wool believer in Adamski, when I read his writing, I realized that this was Z-grade sci-fi writing. That even in the book there, when you read carefully, you'll read about his background, and he was totally self-trained. He had no academic training. He was an engineer only by self-training. He was really not an engineer, and he's picked up. He's read a few things and written Z-grade sci-fi. Well, for example, let me just. Here's a quote of what Alan, the supposed space man, visible only as a voice, speaking to Dan in the supposed first contact, said. Let me break in first and say he claimed this happened on the night of the 4th of July, 1950, and he says that let me he describes the scene. He says the sun had been down for some time. And there was practically no daylight left, but the sky was bright with stars, and the moon, though not yet above the horizon, was producing considerable diffuse light in the sky. Well, that is not true. It would not have been true on the 4th, because of the fact the moon at that time was what's called a waning gibbous moon at 76%, and the orientation of the sun's light off the moon with it below the horizon could not have given any appreciable light into the sky at all. But to make things worse, truth of the matter is, he claimed it was on July 4th. July 4th, White Sands. Now, keep in mind, we're in the midst of the hottest part of the most intense part of the Cold War. This is 1950 July. We're concerned of what the Soviet Union has and what they might get from us. White Sands is closed down for the 4th of July. No one except absolutely essential personnel were there. And they did not include Z-rate engineers like Dan Fry, who have to deal in relationship to what he claimed rocket engines, but I suspect it had more to do with other things. He tried to make him sound impressive. But here's Alan is talking to him, supposedly, and here's what he's saying. He says, you are seeing parts of the ship and its mechanism, which in your mind is capable of grasping. The large drum-like structure just above the central bulkhead is the differential accumulator. Now, he's throwing that out. A little bit of simple electronics that he's learned. And he's throwing this out to buzz the dumb reader to make him think, wow, this is a scientific differential accumulator. Wow. He says it is essentially a storage battery, which is... Why then not say that? Differential accumulator. Dan Fry already knew that. Essential, a storage battery which is capable of being charged from any number of natural energy differentials which may be available. By the word charged, this is Alan talking. By the word charged, I merely mean that a potential difference is created between two poles of the accumulator. The material of the poles has available free electrons in quantities beyond anything which you could conceive. All right. Why is it, look, if this is Dan Fry, the engineer, and Alan is so bright, he would know that Dan Fry knows what a charge means on something. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. Obviously, it's trying to impress the reader that, oh, he's in contact with this guy that's revealing some science. Well, this is, it's I would call it worse than Z-grade sci-fi.
More to come with Ray Stanford talking about The Science in Quotes of Dan Fry. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-958-9659. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-958-9659. That's 1-800-958-9659. 1-800-958-9659.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
A little bit later, we have questions from our audience, Ray Stanford, and Chris will be looking those up. But right now, we're talking about the Z-grade science from the person or individual or whoever that Dan Fry has contacted. So you're saying here he throws in all this stuff, science, pseudoscience, whatever, word salad, this is done to impress the reader, but what does Daniel Fry know about science?
He knows very little, really very little. And when you read what he's saying, I mean, for example, I could go on about the part where he claims about this thing is, since the direction and amplitude of flow can be controlled, and notice he's deliberately turned amplitude to impress people, controlled through either ring, you know, talking to lay person, that throws most people even today if you say amplitude, and in several paths through a single ring, we can produce a field which in opposition or in conjunction with any magnetic field through which we wish to travel. This also gives us control of the attitude of the craft with respect to a given field. Oh, boy. I mean, this is, it sounds like to me a smart seventh grader writing what he thinks is hot sci-fi. That's about all it comes across as in the first place. Anyone like me who has used recording magnetometer and recording gravimeter and other instruments to record these objects both optically and electronically in those ways knows that these things do not fly by creating a field so powerful that is somehow propelled by interaction with the pipsqueak Earth's magnetic field. It's just ridiculous. This is not the way they use magnetism at all. That's not the subject today, so I won't get into it. But it is absolutely ludicrous. And anyway, if there's any more technical aspects, I'm happy to answer them. But I want to get into what his wife, Elma, told me and what we, in turn, shared with her.
Chris, before we get to that, any questions from our listeners that relate to the so-called science of Dan Fry?
Yeah, there are a couple, actually, and I'm glad you cut in when you did here. Ray, Thomas Morrison is one of our posters at forum.theparacast.com, where our listeners can you know, post questions for our guests. He says at the end of Fry's book, Atoms, Galaxies, and Understanding, which is published in 1960, Fry describes an intergalactic repulsive force. This wasn't validated until 1998 when dark energy was discovered by astronomers. Although I don't think dark energy has really been discovered. I think the effect of dark energy has been discovered.
Correct.
Actually, to be real accurate about it. But Thomas wants to know what do you make of this and how do you know that any of these other cases?
I'm sympathetic with his attempt to reason this out, but what we have to do is be very careful. When you read something and look back on it years later after getting certain information, it's easy to project and to feel the person was saying that. But if they didn't say that in the first place, as you point out, dark matter has not yet been defined. We have only evidence suggesting it by its effect. And it's far too early to say, and it's certainly considering that little, almost nothing that's known about it, to say that Dan Fry was talking about it. I read the same thing, and I tell you, I do not believe that we can say that. He didn't say anything that would indicate that. I mean, Dan did a lot of, obviously, thinking on his own and trying to figure out some things, but don't get me wrong. I think Dan was a rather intelligent man. He didn't have formal education and really clearly doesn't know a lot about the things he's talking about, but he's obviously put thought into what he knew and what he'd read, and I'll give him credit for that, even though he's misapplying it in stories that are not true. There's not time in this context to really explain in depth the problems with what Dan says about propulsion in that last book there in 1960, but so we won't do that. But I appreciate the thought that the person who wrote this in is thinking about it and seeing. But I just would caution about ex post facto projection of what we learn into what a person was saying when he didn't really say it. We merely deduce that he might have been talking about it. And that's the most we can say. But a lot of people could have been talking about that. In fact, there were quite a few. If you read not only science, but even science fiction back then, you see a lot of these same ideas that Dan is talking about are nothing new. You don't have to contact Elon of wherever in space to get this kind of so-called revelation.
Any further questions from that listener, Chris?
He does go on and say that Fry accurately described all the key characteristics of a gravitational field propulsion system faster than light travel capability, absence of G-forces on board, even under high acceleration, absence of time dilation effects in transit, etc. And all this was 38 years before Miguel Alcubierre elucidated the theoretical physics of this concept in 1994. How do you think he did this?
He didn't. That's the answer. He's reading into it. He absolutely did not. The you know, this is not the way we do science. This is not the way we examine evidence. We do not take something afterward and say, that proves this. Because Dan Fry did not actually say these things. First place, his silly description, where he describes his first trip, and when he comes back in, and they're going to, they're coming back in, and they're going to give him zero G state so he can experience what it's like. Oh, man, he goes through this terrible stress and this brilliant light that's about to consume him. Well, I'm sorry, none of the astronauts ever reported anything of this nature when they went into a weightless so-called zero-G state. And I'm sorry, but we have to dispense with our wishful thinking and our hopes about a case. Let us get into the real facts of what I learned from his wife, and I think that maybe this gentleman will take a different perspective. Anybody could have picked up enough that was intelligent and thoughtful to say the things that Dan Fry said without talking to a spaceman. How do I know? Well, the people I was dealing with even in high school, my twin brother, in fact, at that time was going into nuclear physics. We talked physics and Einstein and these kind of things all the time. There's nothing surprising in what Dan said. In fact, we laughed when we read it. Both of us read it. And we said, gee, you know, this is kid stuff. And it is. So he may believe as he likes, but that doesn't validate it. Let's talk about the actual facts as I learned them from Elma, Dan's wife, whom he married, I believe, in 1934.
Sure, let's proceed with that.
Okay. Oh, in the first place, he supposedly had this amazing life-changing experience on the desert at a time when he could not possibly have been and was not at White Sands. And describing the after-sunset scene, it said the sun had been down quite a while. That could not have been valid, but he could not have been there. Now, his wife says, and told both my brother and me, she said the strange thing was, this supposedly happened, but that she never heard anything about it. He never came home and said he had this experience. Suddenly he's writing a book years later. And this thing is coming out. But she was totally shocked, as she was about other events subsequently. For example, the first picture that Dan Fry claimed to, that they revealed publicly that he said he'd been taken of a UFO, was probably in daylight. And it was in Southern California. I think it was near a place where JPL is located today, probably. But anyway, I think he Baldwin Park or someplace similar named to that.
Let's go into that photo in our next segment with Ray Stanford and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no. Wait. A family hub.
Yeah.
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so let's talk about that right now. Let's continue with it, Ray Stanford, about Daniel Fry's alleged pictures.
Right. This was the first picture that he came up with publicly. It's a daylight picture, and it's a still picture, and it's black and white. Here's the background on that. He claims that on a certain date he took this picture. But again, as with the event at White Sands, which you think you would go home and immediately be blabbering off the top of your head about it to your wife, he saw this thing, and if you look at the picture, it's apparently a standard lens, if I remember. I mean, this thing covered I would say, 1 degree of arc or more in the sky. It's a good size image, despite the fact that it looks so very much like a coffee can of that period, of maybe Maxwell House. Anyway, a coffee can with another small can on top of it. It doesn't look like any UFO that's ever been described, and it has no emitters. It has nothing exotic about it. It just looks like a couple of cans, one on top of the other. But anyway, he supposedly sees this and photographs it. But guess what? He doesn't tell his dear wife, Elma. No, not at all. Well, one day, sometime after the date that his supposedly was taken, Dan wanders in from work at the little Crescent Engineering that he had there, and wanders in and puts a packet from a Photoshop on the table. It has some photos and some negatives in it. And Elma wonders, what is this? Dan didn't say a word, so she picked it up and opened it up. And lo and behold, here's this picture of this this tin can UFO. And she said, Dan, where'd you get this? What's this? He said, oh, I didn't tell you. You know, I was over there, you know, on such and such date, and I saw this thing, and I took a picture of it. Well, the truth of the matter is, he wanted to see whether it came out credible or not before he showed it to her. So then he pretends, oh, it's just quite casual, and there it is, and she discovers it and gets excited, and so on and so forth. But she thought this was strange. Why didn't Dan tell me this? And you can understand he wouldn't want to let her see it until he knew for sure it was real. So he didn't say anything, because if he faked the pictures and they looked fake, he wouldn't want to show them to his wife, so he didn't tell her until he saw the pictures. It all adds up. Well, if this had just happened once, well, that's the second time, basically, because he didn't tell her about the event at White Sands either. That's not the only time it happened. It happened again and again. For example, late one afternoon, they decided to drive out from where they lived near the LA area to Joshua Tree area, where a lady that felt she was a psychic named Doris Levesque, she claimed to channel Ashtar, which, you know, I believe that, like, I don't believe it at all, but it's ridiculous. But anyway, she was sincere. She was a decent lady. I mean, she just believed she was doing this. And anyway, for whatever reasons, Dan and Elma decided they're going to go out and visit with her. And they go out there, and they're in the house with Doris. And I have this testimony not only from Elma, but from Doris herself. And they're in the house there, and they've been there for half an hour or so. And all of a sudden, Dan doesn't say a word to anybody. He just gets up and strolls out the front door. And they hear the trunk of the car open and close, but nothing else. After a while, they hear it open and close again. And after a while, Dan walks in, and he says nothing to Elma or to the other lady, Doris Levesque. He says nothing whatsoever. Well, a few days later, another package shows up when Dan comes home from work, having been by the photo store, put on the end table at the end of the couch. And she opens it up. There may have been more than one in this case, but at least one black and white photograph. And it's a carnious, fake, luminous object. I mean, of a UFO supposedly at night. She said, "Dan, what is this?" Again. And he said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you. You know, when I went outside, you know, when we were at Doris's, I saw a UFO and I took a picture." Now, understand, he opens the trunk. He's right there in hearing range. They hear the trunk open. And he doesn't say, "Hey, guy, come out here. There's this object out here." Oh, no. No, not at all. Well, if this
he
is
doesn't
obvious,
tell
I
his wife. I just can't get over that.
That's right. And she's right inside the wall there, you know, right inside the glass window, in fact. And what he had done is clearly, it's just a piece of black cardboard with a crude UFO shape crudely cut out and a flashlight held behind it. I mean, absolutely, it's so corny, it's not even funny. But the world has never seen those pictures. Now, there's more. I don't have the date of this, but anybody can check on it about this first alleged movie that he took. They were out at George Van Tassel's so-called spacecraft convention. And, of course, there are a lot of people out there. And, they were there. And, of course, Dan was, as usual, one of the speakers. But at some point in the proceedings in broad daylight, Dan comes over to Elma and he says, I'm going to have to walk across the mountain over there. He has, believe it or not, he has his camera with him, but he has a big box. And she said, "Dan, why are you going to walk across? There was this hill. I don't know what direction. Well, I guess I'm assuming at this point in time it's probably kind of the east side of the big giant rock there. I've been there numbers of times. And why are you going across the hill?" And he said, "Well, I've got to go over there and take a crap." And she said, "Well, you know, they had skid cams, you know, the portable toilets there." He said, "Well, it's too busy. I'm going to go." And she said, "Well, why are you carrying the big box with you?" And he said, "Well, I have to have plenty of toilet paper." And if you can imagine this, and he said, "You know, you have to be prepared." Might see something pretty shocking, huh? Okay, well, anyway, he comes back. He's got the box. He puts it in the back of the car. Never says a word to Elma that anything has happened over there. Nothing. Nothing at all. And so she doesn't think much about it. Well, a couple weeks later, a processed movie film gets plopped on the end table again when he comes home from work, when he picks it up from the processor. Of course, Dan's already seen this. And so she said, "Well, Dan, what is this film?" He said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you. You know, when I went across the hill over there to take a crap, this spaceship showed up. And I got a film of it." Now, of course, he's taking the box with the model in it over there. Well, I said, "Well, Elma, my gosh, I didn't know anything like this happened." I said, she said, "Well, I want to show you the film." She said, I don't know. Something bothers me." She said, "I don't know. Dan never tells me these things until after he's seen the films or the pictures." And she said, I want you to look, you boys to look at this, talking about my brother and me. So I want you boys want to look at this and see and for yourself. I mean, she said, something bothers me about it. Well, bless her heart, we took the projector. I think it was 16 millimeter, I remember. Could have been 8, but I think it was 16. Anyway, and we set it up. Dan's at work at Dresden Engineering. And we project this thing. And she says, by the way, wait, before you start. Dan says that you have to run the projector at the maximum speed to safeguard the film. If you run it at the normal speed, it can damage the film. Huh? You know, I've projected pictures for years, and I guarantee if you want to get into trouble, try to run a camera at the speed at which it's not normally made to run, but that's a super high speed. And I said, you know what, Elma, that doesn't make any sense. Dan's an engineer, and he doesn't realize that there's something wrong. Let's see what's here. I'm going to run it at normal speed. And she says, okay, you think it's safe? And I said, oh, yeah. She said, Dan says it's not safe. I said, I don't care. It'll be safe. It'll be fine. So we projected the film. It was me and Rex and Elma. And by golly, here it shows it. You see this model. Now, let me tell you. And we stopped frame and we looked at it. And we watched frame by frame. All in the world this thing is, this spaceship. I would say that he took the circular ring at the, you know, an old-fashioned lampshade. It had a circle ring of metal at the bottom and a smaller one at the top. And he took this and used the larger one as the midpoint, and he took another one down at the bottom of the same smaller side. And he had clearly glued alternately black and white tissue paper on these panels, alternately white and black. And the thing is clearly, okay, what he does to film it, he suspends it on a thin filament like Adamski was suspending his little glowing models. But this is daylight. And so he films this thing, and you look at this thing, and you slow it down, and you see, and of course, it's bobbing exactly the way a small model would on the end of a line. It's
well, that clearly, explains why it had to be run so fast. Let's get more of this.
Well, no, that's not the reason.
Okay.
That's not the reason.
Okay, we want to know the reason then. Okay, more to come with Ray Stanford and Gene and Chris. You're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features. And most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
It's called the Deep State. Barack Obama's most loyal aides still hold office, and they want to stop President Trump. Deep State was first revealed in the runaway New York Times bestseller, Big Agenda. David Horowitz's Big Agenda exposes Obama's government in exile and his shocking plan. Newsmax, Lou Dobbs, Ann Coulter all say you must read Big Agenda at bookstores everywhere, or check out our free offer. Call 800-NEWSMAX, 800-NEWSMAX, or go to BigAgenda411.com. That's BigAgenda411.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, my name's John Kunkel. I'm 63 years of age. I watched several YouTube videos of Stephen Hewer's and learned what supplements might help me with energy and weight loss. I've now been on the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, Synergy One, and six other products from Synergistic Nutrition for several weeks now. I've lost 10 pounds. My joint pain has been reduced significantly. I have a lot of energy that I've never had before. My cravings for sweets are gone, and I'm rarely hungry. Even my cravings for foods like hamburgers and heavy carbohydrate meals are now gone. This is the only thing that's worked for me. I was seriously considering bariatric surgery, but that's out the window now. Thank you so much, Synergistic Nutrition.
With Synergistic Nutrition, we help you take the guesswork out of supplementation and help you hit the bullseye of success. I encourage you to get specific about your health needs, because when you do, your body will celebrate with energy and well-being. Call Synergistic Nutrition today at 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I notice Chris's voice is getting higher and higher as he listens to the wild tales about Dan Fry. Okay, so tell me, Ray Stanford, why did we have to run this so fast? Not just to see the bobbing of the model, but other reasons?
Right. Well, in the first place, to keep him seeing the tissue paper bouncing up and down in the wind over the hill. But the real reason, here's the real reason. At some point, he's got this thin, I presume it's nylon line, which is kind of slick. And, of course, you're out there in the heat of the desert near, you know, Giant Rock, out in the middle of the high desert in California, and you're sweating. And guess what? The line slips in his hand, and the model slips, and he yanks and grabs it. He grabs the fish liner or the nylon thing, what it, and yanks it up. But here's why he didn't want you to see it. When he yanks it up, when you're running slow, the line tilts over at an angle that becomes a reflective surface of our local sun. And by golly, you see the sun's reflection on the line all the way up. You know his hand's just beyond it. And then he bends it back real fast and yanks it up. And you even see the little model vibrate and rock from his hand, jerking it to get it back into to place before the camera. So it just happened that I had a presentation about some of our UFO experiences that night at the local understanding, you know, which was Dan Fry's organization. So we were talking to them, and she said, "Ray, that's fake." I said, "Oh, man, you're right. It's absolutely a fake." She said, "That's a model on some kind of little line." And I said, "Absolutely. You saw it, and we saw it." So I said, "How would you like it if I ran this tonight at regular speed?" She said, "I'd love it." So we got there, and I gave my talk, and I said, "Well, I'll show you my film." I said, "Look, I want to show you a wonderful film that Dan Fry got at the recent spacecraft convention. Now, this is an amazing movie, and I want you to see it." So I slipped it onto the projector, and I started to run it, and Dan literally, he was behind the book table. He physically jumped over the book table. He catapulted over the book table, ran over there and grabbed the switch and said, "Don't dare turn that on to normal speed. You have to run it at top speed." And I turned around to him and I said, "Look, these people want to see as much of this as they can, Dan. And furthermore, you run it slow, there's less danger. Oh, no, it'll tear it up." I said, "Take my word for it. If this tears it up, I'll pay you $1,000 for it right now. You know, Dan, it's okay." And, man, he broke out. Literally, his forehead broke out into a cold sweat. And he murmured and went over and sat down. And we projected this. And I'll tell you what happened. When it was over with, Dan was back behind the book table, and a wonderful couple that I had met, Harry and Margaret Whipple, I had been over to their place, they invited me over one night, and they were great, sincere, honest people and honest believers in Dan Fry. And had a little science enough to be impressed by the little science and pseudoscience that he threw into his books. But when it was over with, Harry Whipple walked up to Dan and said, "You know, Dan, if I didn't know you so well, I would swear that I saw a piece of fishing line or nylon filament attached to that thing, and it slipped down, and you jerked it and jerked it back up." And Dan said, "Well, I don't know what that was. It might have been some energy beam or something. You know, I don't know. I don't even know what size this thing was, how close it was, and so forth. All I know is that I saw it and I filmed it." Well, that's not the end of the story. One night at the dinner table, we stayed for, I think, about a week at the Fry's house. And one night at the dinner table, I asked Dan, I said, "Dan, you know, I'm concerned about this film. I mean, this looks like to me a small object suspended near the camera, and it shows the kinematic properties of that in its pendulation." Now, he had enough science background to know what I was talking about. And he says, and these are probably almost his exact words after all these years, I remember them. He says, "Right, well, you know, I've always said, I don't know how big this thing was. It could have been a big spaceship. It could have been a little craft, maybe a foot or so in diameter. I don't know. I don't know whether it was near me or far away." Huh? He's there in broad daylight. He's filming this thing. He doesn't know whether it's a foot in diameter or whether it's a big spaceship far away. But guess what? While he's doing this, while he's saying this, something happens. It's known to those of us who have carefully studied psychopathic liars as the tick. Now, the tick can manifest in various ways, but Dan had a very bad one. When he started telling this lie, his shoulders started jerking up like he's shrugging something off. I mean, big time jerk, both shoulders. I mean, it was almost embarrassing to watch. So, I changed the subject, and we're talking about the food, we're talking about the day. Nothing's happening. No shoulder jerk. I said, "Well, I'm going to find out. That sure looked like a tick to me." I said, "Dan, you know, I wonder what it was like for you to walk up to that, to Alan's craft there that first night at White Sands. You know, I'm wondering, what did you feel? What was your inner feeling, your emotion, and so on and so forth?" And man, when he started telling that, his shoulders started jerking like crazy, the tick. Well, I already knew this from studying other cases of psychopathic liars. There had been one that appeared on TV and that we met, named Todd Cuttridge there, that claimed to have met some guys in green suits getting out of UFO. Very uncredible case. And every time he would start talking about this rather than, you know, how he worked, where he worked, and so on and so forth, you would see in his left cheek, his proper left cheek, you would see a tick. It would jerk. It would actually jerk. And by the way, that's a fairly common tick of psychopathic liars, but it can manifest in the shoulders. It can manifest in various ways. But the fact that Dan Fry, even in telling about the alleged first experience, he got the tick as soon as he started telling something that wasn't true, the tick started. And when we changed subject, he got right back to normal, and I never saw him tick except when he talked about these hoaxes of his.
Wow. Some wacky characters out there.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yep.
Now, just parenthetically here, obviously George Adamski confessed to you two about what he was up
That's
to.
Right.
Any other contactees up and say, "You know what, it's not true, we're just telling stories"?
No. No, not a single one of them has ever done this. I would point out, people want to think about it, that when Adamski confessed, and when he confessed this, and we exposed it, this exposed all the people that copycatted him. For example, George Van Tassel. Either George Van Tassel was either totally fantasy prone, based on something he believed, or he was a liar, because he claimed that physically the scout ship that Adamski described and allegedly photographed came down out there, and a space being that he said was named Solganda came out of it and communicated with him. Well, I'm sorry, but George Adamski's lampshade did not come down with anybody inside of it and talk to George Van Tassel.
And, a flying lampshade. That sounds like fun. I'd love to be on one of those. It sounds like something I might have done when I was a kid. I remember there was a company that sold you, like, a cardboard spaceship. And it was big enough that a normal-sized kid can go in there, maybe two kids, and play, you know, Space Ranger or something.
Oh, well, hey, speaking of UFO models, let me tell you something. After, okay, let me tell you this too. Oma got so upset about this, she divorced him shortly thereafter. She knew for sure now that she'd seen that movie and we'd slowed it down and she'd seen the string, that all these things of him not telling her about them until he knew they'd been processed and we might impress her. She knew that he'd been lying to her all these years. And although they'd been married, I think, since 1934, that really ended it. Now, he married later a woman who went under the name of Tahalita, if I remember the name correctly, after all these years. And if you think Dan Fry's movies, oh, by the way, he also made one or two movies with another model, made more sophisticated with multiple bands around the middle and white tissue paper on the top and bottom, and it up in Washington, Oregon, somewhere up there, and with the nice evergreen trees in the background and so on. But it has the same properties. It's nothing but a small model. And in that case, I haven't looked at it in some years. I don't remember if it was actually filmed on the scene or if it was double exposed in. I just don't know at this point, but it's definitely a small model, made the same way, but done with a whole lot more care and experience in this case. But let's go to Tahalita, the lady he married years later. She claimed that she filmed an Adamski-type craft. I've seen the movie. And what she filmed is really funny, because Dan Fry and anybody that ever went to those conventions out at Van Tassel's place would see for sale a Japanese ashtray that had, from the ashtray, it had a curved steel wire that went up and held a little tin model of Adamski's alleged Venusian scout ship. And it was corny as heck. It didn't really match in detail what Adamski had. You could tell by looking at it, it wasn't the same thing. It wasn't nearly as sophisticated as the lampshade Adamski had used with all kinds of machining and finish, fancy finish on it. This was just a little tin model of Adamski's thing. And it was used in several different fakes. I think that, in fact, that Gray Barker, perhaps along with the help of certain other parties, faked one too with that. But Tahalita came out with this thing. She said that she filmed this.
Let's discuss the film in our next segment. Okay? With Ray Stanford. Boy. We can go on for hours without interruption with this. More to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Bearcast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.